So, in this new reality of 25% auto tariffs now being official, we talked about Tesla's leadership and all that stuff, but it does feel like this is a solidification of that. Like now it's official. Like we know now that if you're a car comp an auto manufacturer, your ability to sell into the United States has now become significantly more expensive. It's now much harder for you to have a price competitive car in the States if you import, right? Has
I
that
think it's
so
more
I'm
than
actually
that.
go ahead.
If you want to be a global auto manufacturer and you do not have global localized supply chains, you are in trouble. And that goes, it includes what you said. But it's not just about the US market. The US market is an important market, but if you're going to compete with the big boys, you can't be a US market only participant. You have got to be global. But if you're global, then you have to have a supply chain that's resilient enough in every single one. Like the way that you avoid this is you do exactly what Tesla has done, and you make sure that you have Europe, you have Asia, and you have US, North America, South America. Those are all regions, and that each region is roughly independent of the other.
Go ahead.
We're far from that state right now. In Tesla, Tesla is still highly dependent upon China, in the United States and in Europe. And whether they're dependent in China on the United States is an open issue. I would say from a software point of view, they're still dependent on the US.
Well, it's a tale of two things. I think from an auto perspective, there are electric components that come from multiple parts of Asia into the US. Or in through Mexico into the US. So there's some risk, but I would say it's more contained. If you go to the energy side of the business, it's a different story. I mean, right now batteries are up. I mean, I don't know if you have to follow the tariffs and all the existing tariffs that were on before, and there were battery specific tariffs on before, but they're somewhere between 55 and 65% right now at the cell level, going to 82% by January of 2026. So there are multiple issues, and Tesla even they came on the earnings call in January and said, "Hey, we're going to do this massive factory transition on the Model Y. It's going to take several weeks, and oh by the way, we're battery constrained between stationary and mobile." And nobody asked about it. Nobody asked about it. They have a tariff issue on Megapacks, but they have a global supply issue, looks like it, on batteries where they have to trade back and forth. So Larry's correct that Tesla is impacted, but I would say relative to other automakers that supply cars in the United States, they are most insulated. And so they will have a net pricing advantage, tariffed, and they also have a net pricing advantage, quite frankly, on the subsidies relating to both federal credits and battery credit, manufacturing credits, and ZEV credits. And if you look at the top 10 EVs sold in the US, three of the top four Tesla, but the next three are Model Y-like competitors that are final assembled in Mexico or South Korea. Those are lower end vehicles for them, and their margins would get obliterated in this scenario. So it's not a ton of units, but some of that TAM could shift over. And if they can't build them, then they have to buy more credits. So, I mean, Tesla is in a fairly good position, I think, on the auto side. And this doesn't mean that they're stuck in stone either. Like they could start moving more and more stuff if they had to. But the fact that there's a USMCA carve-out, and it looks like it may last a longer than even May 3rd, we'll see how this plays out. I actually think they're in a pretty good spot, and their exposures are just on these electromechanical components out of Asia. And we're not talking thousands and thousands and thousands of at the BOM level. We may be a thousand or a few thousand at the fully tariffed level, but this is nowhere in comparison to these vehicles that are going to have 5 to 15 thousand or more in tariffs from these competitors. So I do think they're in a position. I also think they're well insulated in the Eurozone. I think they're well insulated in China. I think they're well insulated. It doesn't mean that some crazy counterattack couldn't you know, couldn't happen, couldn't occur. But that would be economically really bad for those economic zones. And they don't tend to do that. They don't tend to do that. And even if you look at China's response overnight, the response overnight was very carefully worded, which was, you know, these tariffs need to come off, or, you know, we are going to implement countermeasures. It wasn't like, here are the five countermeasures that we're putting in effective tonight. And no discussion. It was like, US, we see what you're doing and we are going to respond, but here's some time to maybe work out a deal. And then, you know, what came out of Europe was just like, hey, we're encouraging people to not set up businesses in the US. Okay. No shit. I'm sorry. Excuse my language. But I mean, like, okay. So anyway, I think Tesla's in a good spot, but we don't talk enough about energy. Energy is not insulated right now, and energy is exposed, and they need to have a solution.
Yeah, I think what I find most interesting about the timing of these tariffs is, on the auto side, is overlapping with Tesla's plan to come out with cheaper models at the same time. So at the same time that the competition's pricing is going to go up by more than Tesla's current lineup, in addition to that, they're going to come in under their existing market to offer cheaper products. So you're going to get a double whammy effect. Everyone else's EVs is going to go up, and your EVs net are going to come down, or at the very least stay flat, because that net price increase from a unit to unit perspective actually is even bigger than just the tariff. And I'm curious to see, if I'm going to think about this naively, or I'm thinking about this in a perfect world scenario, how is this not the nail in legacy auto? This is the nail, the coffin. You set fire to it. You've buried it 12 feet underground, and you've dropped a bomb on it. And I feel like these tariffs is creating that forcing function. It's like, you were already unprofitable. You were already, from a unit-to-unit perspective, not competitive from a feature set perspective. Let's set aside the Chinese automakers. And on top of that, the United States has just placed a massive upcharge on your product that makes you even less competitive, right? And then your biggest competition is coming in even the lower market scenario. I don't know. I mean, to me, it feels like at the end of this year, unless something huge changes on these auto policies, to me, this is the, I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum on this channel, but it just feels like we've sort of a gasoline-filled bomb has been dropped on the auto market, and it feels very subdued right now because of how much is going on in the news media and how much what's being covered. But to me, if I'm an auto executive, I'm probably losing my mind. I am probably losing my mind because I don't see how I survive this. You know?
Anyway. Yeah, I think it's the biggest thing that's hit the auto industry since the great financial crisis. And during that 2-year span, we had a 30%, then a 60% drawdown in U.S. auto units. And then we peaked in 2018, I think at around 21 million units. And then we've never got back to that peak again. And it's been a slow decline. So they were already in a position of underutilized assets, very low hardware margins. And the tariffs actually flipped their hardware margins dramatically. It's a big problem. It's a huge problem for them. And this is why I think there must be a broader plan, because the inside baseball of, you know, the president, the auto leaders, like, if they showed their economic plan, be like, well, our businesses are going to get obliterated under these tariffs. I mean, there's really no two ways.
Do you think there is a chance? Sorry to interrupt. Do you think there's a chance that these auto executives are not telling the truth, or are not being honest about how serious of a situation they're in?
I don't think that's
a chance.
I think it would behoove them to show the worst case view of, Mr. President, if you do these things, you know, we're going to try to, we agree with your end objective, and we're going to try to get there as fast as possible. But this is what it does to our business this year. This is what it does to our business next year. But I think what could be happening is that data was presented. It was acknowledged by the president in the administration, but it's like, hey, I got to get this deal done with Mexico. I got to get this deal done with Canada. Just sit tight. I'm going to announce things. Here, what would be fascinating for me would be to be on the inside of these supply chains And there would definitely be some tells around, did you shut a bunch of suppliers off? Did you do massive inventory pulls? I mean, we're hearing stuff, we're seeing stuff, and there's things that they could be doing on the perimeter. But to be a massive tell for me is if they are wholesale shifting for this already or not. That to me would be the massive tell in all this. Finally, the one thing I would just say is, I don't think we're going to have inflation, at least in the auto industry. And here's the scenario that plays out. The scenario that plays out is, I think right now we're running at a SAR of like 18 million units. Like March was this blowout. Like there was a bunch of people going and buying cars. People were getting their tax returns. People worried about tariffs. I think April is going to be very good as well. But I think what's going to happen, I don't think people are going to buy as many cars when these tariffs are on. And I actually think there's a whole question of, are people just going to swallow it, and are the auto companies going to swallow it? Are people going to swallow a price increase? I don't think people will. I think they'll buy less cars, especially if you have a bit of a stagflationary scenario where interest rates are high, the cost to get money is still high, and now the cost of the vehicles are still high. I just think less vehicles are going to be purchased. And even in that scenario, Tesla is going to be ramping up a ride-sharing service that's at a lower price point when it's at scale. So it looks like Tesla has a, call it a shorter-term advantage around tariffed hardware, but it also looks like if less cars are purchased, that is almost accelerating the move to more more rideshare, where they're going to be over the next 18 months to 2 years ramping that up.
Yeah, that's why it just feels like, just fast forward 6, 12, 18 months, and if we're still in this, even a world that's remotely close to what's been outlined, the winning condition is very much biased towards Tesla as a company because of all the decisions they've made from a supply chain and manufacturing perspective and the products that they're coming out with in the next 3 months. And they've all laid out. They would have worked even before the tariffs went into effect, but the tariffs are just accelerating that outcome because of the decisions that they've made, because they've positioned themselves to be as self-sufficient as, again, on the auto side, right? I'm not talking about energy, the auto side. So, yeah.
We have to be careful, though, Farzad, is it could turn into a bit of a, I don't want to use an improper term, but just like the world's tallest little person. Like if the total auto units draw down to 10 million units or something along those lines, if we have some sort everybody gets hit. Tesla could be the tallest in that bunch, but you know,
they're 5'8 instead of 6'2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else we want to hit?
Not too late for them to adjust their tactics.
Not too late.
I think there's no way.
I think you
have that. I agree with you, Larry. I 100% agree with what you're saying, but this buildup, that ceremony in the Rose Garden, the first move isn't going to be them capitulating. The first move is going to be a partner with them making a deal, and then maybe they start accelerating other deals. But I don't, without a response from a major country, I just don't see them.
Well, you know, Israel and Vietnam reduced their duties to zero on American goods, and yet they were treated in exactly the same way as everybody else.
Vietnam hasn't. Vietnam, there's still a bunch that are, it's complicated. They're still on. I think we saw the memo from Israel, but I understand your point. I think that show had to go on as is. Like the show just had to go on. I think they had a carve out for Canada, Mexico, because they're in the middle of it, and they already put the 25% on them. That's why they were missing from the thing. But I honestly think that this was a production. The show had to go on. But I think this is, when you step back, there will be tariffs on everything, but net lower. And then instead of focusing on 200 countries, there's going to be like a top five that they have to go after. They have to solve for Canada, Mexico. They have to solve for the Eurozone. They have to solve for China and the rest of Southeast Asia. Those are probably the five priorities that they go after and get deals done.
Yeah.
If that doesn't start happening next week, you can start putting alarm bells off.
Yeah.
I think the alarm bells have gone off already. But okay. I'll give you a week.
More alarm bells.
A week. But,
more alarm bells.
Yeah, more alarm bells. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be shocked. So here's my thing. If like I said before, if by Monday evening we're not seeing some some pretty major moves, I'm going to be quite concerned about the state of the U.S. economy. Like, very concerned.
This will be a 24/7 thing, too. They should be around the clock kind of thing on some of the stuff. It's so imperative. So we could see stuff over the weekend.
It'll
be interesting.
Shout out to the island of Reunion, by the way. The island of Reunion outside of Sri Lanka, they have a 10% tariff on U.S. goods. So I just want to give them a huge shout out for being a great trading partner. I don't know anyone from the island of Reunion, but they're good partners. Anything else before we wrap the sucker up?
I just want to make a comment about, this is one of the things that I really love about being a Tesla investor, is that Robotaxi is still set for June. And regardless of what happens with global trade, like, we are on the brink of such a seismic shift in what mobility looks like. And, you know, I literally don't care what happens to the global economy. And maybe that's not exactly true.
You do.
But
no, you do, because you depend upon people having money in their pockets to take rides. Under any circumstances, they got to have money to take rides. And if global trade goes into the toilet, people will not have money to do rides. They won't. They will be struggling to eat. That's how serious this is. This may be the biggest event in your young lives. Just word to the wise.
This is likely true.
Should I start buying ramen now, or should I wait a couple weeks?
If you still find some in the stores, buy it.
All right, I'm going to go on Amazon right now. I'm going to buy 128 count. That's very helpful. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Very enlightening. I think for me, what I'm getting out of this conversation, I hope the audience does as well, is these are all very confusing times. We have a pretty unique administration. We're very fortunate to cover a lot of these adjacent industries. That's an understatement, yeah. It just all feels like a very unique time in history. And having people like Larry and Jeff on to help us try and learn how to think about the situation. Because I think what all four of us agree is that even our best guesses are likely not what is going to happen, because there's so many moving parts. But I think helping me think through the problem and understanding all the variables is my biggest takeaway from this conversation. So I really want to thank Jeff and Larry and Hans for making the time to sit down and try to figure out what the fuck is going on.
And I do want to highlight for people who haven't appreciated Larry's point about what happened with Hootsmali, that Ray Dalio is 100% right, that these things happen and they have happened before. They didn't happen in our lifetimes, and, you know, none of our lifetimes here. But that doesn't mean that, and to your point, history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme. These were in a very similar setup. And Larry is not wrong to point out how massively poorly that could actually go. And because it hasn't happened in the recent past in any of our lifetimes, we underweight the likelihood that it could happen again, because we don't have any baseline to know what it would feel like or what it would look like in our personal experiences.
Is it fair to say that 10 years from now, it's likely, the likeliest scenario is to be one of the polar opposites, either very good or very bad? Is that a fair statement to make? What do you guys think?
It's certainly a possibility.
Definitely.
What do you think, Jeff?
Great. Yeah, I mean, I think there are good parts of this, some not so good, and there's going to be some things on the perimeter that are regrettable. But let's see. I think we're microanalyzing something that's going to play out over a series of days, weeks, and maybe months, hopefully not too long, and we can get some certainty for the market. But, you know, I think we're 23 hours into this, and let's give it a couple of days and then look back at it and see where we go. But I think we certainly got, to Larry's, I think we certainly got a bit of a surprise yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Make sure you go check out Larry Goldberg at Tesla Larry on X. Make sure you go check out Jeff Lutz at The Jeff Lutz on X. Hans at Hans C. Nelson on X. And you know where to find me, because if you saw this video, you already know where I am. So thank you, gents. Maybe another 48 hours, it's crazy, and then we'll have to get back together on Monday and diagnose what the hell happened then. So thank you, guys. Yeah, if there's still an economy, let me go ahead and end the